Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dustin Dilberg as my special expert guest. Dustin T. Dilberg is a graduate of Pacific College of Oriental Medicine, Egoscue University, and Pettibone Spinal Technologies. His experience includes work at Children's Hospital in San Diego Hospice, and working with the team at Egoscue Clinic in San Diego. Much of Dylan's time is spent surfing and living an active lifestyle, which helps fine-tune the work and training he does with many of the world's top surfers and professional athletes. Dustin joined Dilberg Integrated Healthcare in 2007. His knowledge, complemented by the expertise of his father, Dr. Kerry Dilberg, has diversified the practice, resulting in a world-class holistic healthcare clinic on the beautiful island of Kauai. Dustin earned a master's degree from the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine in San Diego, California, along with the postgraduate certifications in nutrition, spinal rehab, postural alignment, neuro-emotional technique, and sports therapies. He is also certified by American Biologics in the practice of high-resolution blood morphology analysis. Good morning, Dustin, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Dr. C. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you as my guest, and it's a privilege to have met and to know you, and I just love the fact that you're from this beautiful state of Hawaii. So let's get into having a great interview, and first let's talk about Dilberg Integrated Healthcare and the services that you provide over there on Kauai.
Yeah, Dilberg Integrated Healthcare is our holistic clinic on the south side of Kauai. We work with our clients forming a team or an alliance set out to achieve their health and lifestyle goals. So we do this by striving for balance physically, chemically, and emotionally. Some of the techniques that we use in our office include the Egoscue method, Pettibone spinal rehab, like you mentioned earlier. I also have been trained in traditional Chinese medicine, including acupuncture and herbology. We use a lot of nutrition and supplementation detoxification programs when necessary. We have a wonderful system of neuroemotional techniques and comprehensive biochemical and hormone testing. In addition to what my father and I do in practice, we also have two lifestyle educators, one massage therapist, and two rehab assistants in our back office.
Sounds incredible. Now, when you compare what you do to conventional medicine, somebody says, you know, like, what's the difference? How would you explain the difference between what you do and what people normally experience when they go to, say, a hospital or their conventional orthodox allopathically trained doctor?
Well, the care that we commonly get in our hospital setting, or as humans actually, what drives us into a doctor's office or a clinic in the first place is usually pain or some other serious motivating factor. And what we want to do at Dilberg Integrated Healthcare is take them from the crisis care, the acute care phase, and prolong that into more lifestyle education, increasing their sensitivity to imbalances in their life so that they can get past limitations and actually strive for optimal health.
You know, when I met you, I was just impressed by you as a human being, Dustin, your emotional context of reference, your state of being. You come across as being a very kind and compassionate person, which I think makes a big difference. But on a personal level, why do you live the way that you do? What is it about alternative medicine or functional medicine or whatever we want to call it? What is it about that that attracts you to it? Why aren't you like everyone else going the conventional way?
Well, I have to give credit where credit is due. I've been raised in a family that has practiced and lived natural health care and preventative medicine for a long time. I've been indoctrinated or ingrained with it. My father has really paved a wonderful path for me. And I'm always amazed at the body's ability to heal naturally. And another thing that really keeps me going is I strive every day to learn something new. And in medicine, there's always something new to learn. And lastly, just making a difference in people's lives. I can sleep restfully knowing that what I do is something that's helping others, and it gets me excited to wake up in the morning and get back to work.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. I mean, right on. I mean, those reasons are mine also, and we own them. That's our passion. It just makes perfect sense. So it does make a difference how you're raised. You're saying that because of the influence of your parents and what they lived and demonstrated to you, then you kind of just groove into that as a natural way of thinking. And perhaps that's why there's so many people that are lost at sea when it comes to their own health, because they didn't have that same type of influence. Would you agree with that?
I think that's a great point. Yes.
Now, you're a surfer, and you had a surfing school, and I love to body surf, and there's a lot of reasons why people surf, but, you know, back home, not everybody surfs. As a matter of fact, I don't know what the percentage of the population actually surfs on a regular basis. It can't be that high. So what is it about surfing that attracts you to surfing? Why do you like to surf?
It's been a passion of mine since I was a very little kid, and surfed my whole life. I love the beach. I love the salt water, the way that it just kind of washes the day away, takes any static electricity and electromagnetic buildup and depolarizes you. It just is such a calming activity. Feel so in tune with the environment. And so I love surfing, and it's definitely one of my main passions.
What about these giant waves and these surf videos? Is there a certain amount of fearlessness associated? Like I get out there and the waves are maybe 3 to 5 feet, and then they're just terrifying coming at me just as a body surfer. So how do you get out there in these big waves, like on the North Shore? Like, what is it in a person that kind of drives them out into those waves when they're even life-threatening?
I think it is a lot of conquering and overcoming a lot of your fears. Being raised on Kauai and surfing my whole life, I have a ton of respect for the ocean and the power that it holds. The surfers that do go out in those monster waves, they tow and surf in those waves that are 40 and 50 feet, you will never see me doing that. That's not the type of surfing that I do, but I respect it so, so much. I think the power in the ocean is so invigorating. It's something that you can actually get a charge off of. And when you are out in the waves when they're 10 to 15 feet and feeling the speed and the power and being able to control your body movements throughout any situation that you find yourself in is something that is addicting.
Yeah, I hear you big time. So now you work with a lot of professional surfers, and when I met you, you were over here on Oahu going up to work with them, and I don't think a lot of people understand what surfing requires in terms of maybe finesse or athletic ability, but what are some of the injuries that are common to surfers?
The injuries are pretty broad scope. There's a lot of shoulder injuries, a lot of rotator cuff problems. The surfers are paddling so much that they get really tight in their upper cross area, the pecs. They have rounded shoulders and does make them very prone to injuries in that area. There's also a lot of knee problems, ankles, just from the compression coming off of some of the waves as they're doing floaters or airs. And there's also a lot of back problems, a lot of tightness, stiffness in their backs. The way that they hold themselves on the board is a bit of an unnatural position. And so we're overcoming a lot of those imbalances. These athletes are also traveling like crazy. And so the day-to-day lifestyle that they have to live isn't something necessarily to envy, having to pack stuff up, sleep on different beds every night, get crumpled up in airplanes, and they get pretty tight and sore.
Yeah, I can see that. So similar to other athletes where there's a certain risk involved with the sport and then certain injuries are pronounced, and I suppose the knowledge that you have with spinal rehab and massage comes in real handy. Now, you're very well educated, and it's very impressive, and I'm just curious, there's a lot of different principles that are taught in natural health care, alternative medicine. What are some of the most favorite health principles that you believe are important or that maybe even live by?
I think having a balanced life is the most important, and I think I've chatted with you a bit when we were enjoying ourselves on Oahu there. Having a certain amount of balance to your life and living life free from limitations is my whole perspective on that. Some of the things that I like to practice is making sure that I get good sleep, getting my circadian rhythm in balance and getting to bed by 10 o'clock and not stimulating my body to negative energies like computers and just watching, you know, the 10 o'clock news and things like that right before bed. I like to wake up at 6 a.m. and I eat vegetables with every meal when possible.
The vegetables. So I think maybe that's one of the most common mistakes people make is not eating enough vegetables, getting those carotenoids and colors and things.
Right.
How important is nutrition to healing and to managing health and wellness?
So crucial. My biggest passions with health and wellness is longevity, happiness, and injury prevention. And so nutrition is crucial for all of those things. And it's crucial for athletes as well, making sure that they are able to meet their goals in their lives and their careers. It's very dependent on staying away from injuries and maintaining a level head and achieving each one of those goals they set out for.
So you're raised in an environment that helped you understand the importance of nutrition and holistic life. If you had access for a day or a week or a month and were able to invoke changes in the U.S. public education system, I'm talking about maybe from the ground up where we start with kids, what are some of the changes that you would make in the system as it is right now?
I'm working on this right now. It's fun that you ask. Yesterday, I was at my elementary school that I went to here in Kalaheo on the south shore of Kauai, and I was doing a demonstration on just some PE class ideas using the patch fitness principles that were put together by Egoscue, and kids just love it. But before I get too deep into that question, I must tell you how much respect I have for our teachers and our administration and our school system. They have such a tough job to do. The budgets that they have and the tasks that they're asked to complete, it's pretty incredible. So I have a lot of respect for the teachers. If I had my way, I would really go after the obesity and diabetes problems that we have in our schools. That is really, really scary to me. So I want to encourage the schools to make those kids move more, make it fun for them to move, increase the play. I also really appreciate what Jamie Oliver is doing with the food revolution and getting schools to think about using real food to fuel our kids' minds. And when you move more and eat real food, test scores and their learning ability just skyrocket. And so I'm working through the Egoscue Foundation to bring some of these principles into the schools, starting here on Kauai, and I'm hoping that it'll spread throughout the state and nation. The other thing that I think schools could really benefit from is just challenging the students in different ways, finding their passion and what drives them to learn, and making sure that the students are able to utilize that passion and not dumb it down.
For those that don't live here, and maybe for our friends in Canada, talk about the state of Hawaii, the public education system problems. I mean, we learned about the Furlough Friday. There seems to be, you know, a big issue of controversy, and it's all related to budgets and economics, but there are education problems here in the state of Hawaii, isn't there?
There sure are. It's sad how financially restricted the education system in Hawaii is. We actually have started a program. It's a morning patch class on Furlough Fridays for teachers and administrators, as well as a bunch of my clients and patients and friends and family. But we give everybody outdoors and exercising and giving them tools that they can use when they're in the classroom Monday through Thursday, kind of recharging their batteries. The school system could definitely use some help. It could use a boost financially, and it could use a boost in their manpower and organization.
You know, Dustin, my son Michael was just here. He's 25, and he rented a surfboard on Waikiki, went out, and he cut his foot really bad on some coral. So he had to have some emergency medical treatment. And it was very interesting because the care that he had, I went with him, was extraordinary. I was very, very impressed about the emergency medical care that he received. And I found out that, like, the state of Hawaii is one of, or maybe the only state that actually has state health care organized. You know, there's a big issue, as you know, as you're well aware, as an American, about health reform in America.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's interesting, too, because I said, what is it about coral and infection? Because there's this kind of generalized perception that if you cut yourself on coral, you're just bound to have infection and problems that maybe are even lifelong. And the doctor said it's not the coral other than it cuts you rough. It's the fact that people don't clean the wound and they stay in the water, which happens to be loaded with microorganisms that get inside the wound. And it's because of the failure to sterilize and clean the wound That's what leads to the chronic infection, which people assume is connected with the coral, which I thought was quite interesting. So what's your take on your own personal emergency medical care and experiences having lived in the United States? What's your experience like so far? Do you think that the health care, the way we have in Canada, is a good thing? Are you for socialized health care? Do you think that everyone should have to pay for it the way that it's kind of managed in America?
And you're asking touchy questions, and I like it. I'm not for a socialized health care system, personally. I really like the idea of taking as much responsibility for your own health into your own hands, and paying for your health care, I think, is a wonderful way to encourage responsibility. The way you eat, the way you live, are all things that determine how much health care you're going to need for the most part. And there's definite emergency situations, and I have a ton of respect for the everyday miracles they do in the ERs at all of our hospitals and clinics here. The system with trauma and acute care, I think, is well run, and there's always room for improvement in different areas, but I think it's very well run. And in the surfing world, we come up against traumas often. I've actually been working quite a bit with Bethany Hamilton, who most people are familiar with. She lost her arm in a shark attack a number of years ago. And the work that they did to, you know, save her life has allowed her to continue to be a professional surfer. She makes my jaw drop every time I watch her surf. I still am amazed with her ability to paddle into and catch waves, stand up. She even tows in. I have a video of her towing in at Jaws, a huge wave. This woman is an inspiration to us all. So without the wonderful doctors in the ER room, we wouldn't have Bethany around to surf the way she does and be an inspiration to us.
Yeah, right on. I know it's a big issue, and of course CNN and the television and the president and everybody's fighting about it and squabbling about it. And you know, in Canada, the fellow, a premier, I think from Saskatchewan, he was responsible for the creation or the promotion of socialized health care, and he was voted recently as the most important Canadian in the history of Canada, even above Wayne Gretzky, you know, our big hockey guy. So, you know, Canada is really big into this healthcare program, but I do see what you're saying, and I agree with you. It is absolutely abused. Because people don't lose a lot by going into it, like what I've seen here in America is a lot of people that are bankrupted by medical expenditures. They can't cover the cost of the enormous costs associated with cancer, heart disease, triple bypasses, and all that. But you're right, there's got to be something to motivate people to prevent disease. And at the same time, in a perfect world, I guess, that's enlightened and evolved, healthcare would be universal. Everybody would have access to it, but at the same time, everybody would be doing their best to prevent the need for the care, and that's what's missing. There seems to be a missing element or link in the motivational component of people to manage their health and their lives, which is what you and I try and do it through education.
Right. Dr. Corey, what do you think about having something like a health savings account and utilizing some of the funds to get a high deductible insurance? So if a catastrophe happens, the amount after $10,000 or whatever your deductible you choose would be, you would then be covered so that you don't fall into the problems that a lot of people have with serious illness or trauma.
Car insurance in British Columbia is managed by the government, by ICBC, and there are certain criticisms towards it, but there's a deductible, and I think that's common here. So you can insure your car to different levels. And so let's say that you have a deductible with your health care insurance where if you went to a doctor to, say, take your son Johnny because he had a cold, that might cost you $500 because the deductible is coming out of your pocket. So you'd hesitate. Maybe you wouldn't do that. Maybe you would manage it a different way. What I'd like to see is a system where when there's true emergency medical care required, that doesn't bankrupt people, but at the same time, that only reflects maybe 5-8% of why people need medical care. What about all the other people? Now, that's where I would like to see you and what you do and all the natural alternative therapies also part of a medical services plan, which is covered in some kind of insurance plan. But the problem is, and you well know this, is the corruption and the contamination or the limitations of acceptance of insurance companies and HMOs of natural alternative functional medicine. In Canada, it's simply not covered. So what it does is it encourages people to go to conventional medicine for treatment because it's covered, but they have to pay out of pocket to get the naturopathic massage therapies and all the other beautiful, wonderful life-enhancing, educational-based therapies. They have to pay for that. But what I'd like to see is that being used primarily for the chronic disease. And then the other form of, you know, with the surgeons and emergency medical care and ER, that being used for what it's for. But I think the problem right now is that we've got emergency care trained personnel treating people with chronic diseases, and it simply doesn't work. And there's no easy solution, but it's interesting. I think it's important to itemize how things are working in other countries, like in England or Sweden or Scandinavia and Canada, and get some ideas, because certainly there is a problem in America, and it's certainly coming to the ground, because in Canada too, medical expenses are bankrupting the country. We simply can't keep up with the way the system is working, one way or the other. And what we teach, as you well know, is preventive medicine. Okay, good stuff. So now you're going to be here at our camp, and we're looking forward to having you come out to Honolulu, Waikiki, this April for our annual CHI camp. And you're one of the guest speakers. So talk about your title of your lecture and some of the topics you'll be covering.
I can't wait for the camp. The title of my lecture is Putting Posture First. And I'm going to be presenting a simple way to think about movement and breath that's commonly overlooked, bringing our awareness back to the blueprint of the body. And once we have proper alignments and length and tension relationships between our muscles, allowing our muscles to work the way they're designed to, allow for the movements to be carried out by the proper muscles, it transforms every aspect of your life, from athletic performance to digestion, the way you think, even your cardiovascular system and your blood flow is changed. And so I'm going to be talking about some really fun stuff about posture and breath, and I can't wait to do it.
Nor can we. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to combine the fitness and the movement with the intellectual stimulation and the passion from yourself and our other guest speakers, and we'll be able to intermingle and connect and also raise ourselves and our own sense of passion by doing this. And this is the very purpose of the camp. It's to bring like-minded people together and expand the consciousness. Now, when you look around you at the world the way it is, I think people into natural integrative medicine are problem solvers. We like to try and figure out why things are the way they are. Now, you know that health is wealth. You really understand that. You get that. You can't earn money if you're not well, and your potential to exercise freedom in life is related to health. So why isn't that obvious to everybody? If health is the true wealth, then why do you think most people are not committed to living a truly healthy lifestyle?
Sure, it's easy to get jaded, isn't it? And sucked into the rat race that our society encourages. I think that expression of most people spend all their health in order to gain money and then turn around and give all their money to try to regain just part of their health is a very common thing in our society. And I think it really comes down to proper planning of your life. And if you don't have goals set for the way you want to mature in age, it's very hard to get to that end point that you'll be happy with. There's an article that was just written, and it's on the website for Garden Island News. And it's talking about how Americans aren't happy, even though they're some of the richest people in the world. And so money doesn't matter nearly as much as time and health.
Yeah, no doubt. Very well said, and I agree. Planning, goal setting, that's cool, man. Now, we're coming near the end, and I want to get into your website. So tell us what your website address is, and maybe tell us a little bit about your site.
Our website is Dillberg. It's my last name, D-I-L-L-B-E-R-G, health, egoskuclinic.com, and our website talks a little bit about what our office and clinic has to offer here on the island of Kauai. We have people traveling from all over the nation and actually world to come in and do work with us, which is very pleasant. They get to enjoy the beauty of Kauai and the beaches and everything on their time away from the office. We also have a Facebook page. If you just type in Dilberg Integrated Healthcare, you'll find us on Facebook. And I'd also like to just mention Egoskue University. For anyone that finds posture and physical wellness to be an interest to them, taking a look at what EgoskueUniversity.com has to offer, I think it's an excellent resource.
Absolutely, I agree. And I have learned about Egoskue from a number of my CSNA students, and of course going right to the source. We have an interview in one of our SNU specials on that, so that's great. Dustin, our time is gone. Everybody out there, get to DilbergHealth.com. If you're coming to Hawaii, try and find time to get over to Kauai. Give Dustin a call, and I'm sure he would be more than happy to connect with you and give you some insight about what's cooking over there. Dustin, we always like to have our special guest end the interview with a final parting comment, something special, something unique, something that might motivate someone out there to make a change or upgrade their life. Have you got any special words?
Sure. We don't stop playing because we get old. We get old because we stop playing. I look forward to seeing everybody at the Chi Camp, and thanks for having me, Dr. C.
Awesome. Very good. Dustin Dilberg is very well educated, has tremendous experience, offers a whole variety of services. He's a surfing expert, and very well-rounded with a marvelous take on life. Dustin, we thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.